Welcome to Path Talks. This is Lisa Thompson, Chief Operating Officer for Pathway Health, and I will be your host for today's episode. Through this space, Pathway Health experts and other industry leaders will have an opportunity to share valuable insights that are focused on enhancing knowledge, sharing resources, and inspiring healthcare leaders along their career journey. Joining us today is Sue LaGrange, Chief Nursing Officer, and Chris Spangboner, Vice President of Partner Ecosystem and Digital Education for Pathway. So welcome to Path Talks, Sue and Chris. Thank you. Happy to be here. Glad to have you both here today. You know what? I'm going to talk with you and want to discuss with you a really important topic for clinical and operational leaders, and that's the topic on mandatory education. Most leaders, they sit there and they go, okay, here we go. We got a lot of education, and here's things that are mandatory, whether you're in skilled nursing, assisted living, whatever environment that you're in, oftentimes there's set requirements that you have to have for mandatory education. But what's important about that is finding ways how we provide it efficiently with really effective outcomes. And trying to provide education in today's healthcare profession has its challenges, because we know education can come in many modalities or different ways or platforms that education can come in. Virtual, self-paced learning, could be in-person, come to the top of what I'm thinking about. And we know that healthcare leaders were challenged with making sure that all of that education is specifically mandatory education is completed, and that organization-specific education is completed. Also, then you add on top of it the regulatory education and more. And sometimes it's hard to do that when we have a stretched workforce, as we're all dealing with across the nation right now. So really having a streamlined education plan and a well-written education programs are key, that also then provide operational approaches and really practical approaches for implementation success in their organizations. So we know in the last few years there have been many updates to requirements and mandatory requirements that are out there that have specific new training, information, and things that we have to accomplish in our training programs. So I want to start off here with Sue as the Chief Nursing Officer. You know, could you walk us through some now of the required topics that are out there in mandatory education for the overall education needs?
So that's really will be a mouthful, Lisa, because there are
loaded, right, Sue?
Yes, that we are required to provide mandatory education on. And if we look at almost an A to Z, so to speak, we have abuse, we have accident prevention, we have ADLs, behavior management, and then leading into things such as change of condition, communication, even looking at things such as cultural competency. Dementia, we have both state required and federal required training, fire prevention, emergency disaster, hazardous chemicals, HIPAA, and then we all know the importance of the requirements for infection prevention and control, OSHA, pain management, person-centered care, and then we have pressure injuries and prevention and wound care, psychotropic medications, QAPI, resident rights, and then, of course, we have restorative nursing, the requirements for restraints, safe resident handling and lifting, self-administration of medications, and then we lead into safety programs, and then other areas such as sexual harassment and tuberculosis and workplace violence, and there are more, but those are some of the key areas that we really need to make sure that we highlight in our mandatory education.
Oh, geez, Sue, you got me shaking as a leader here with all the things that we have to make sure are in our priority in our education plan. That's just what you're talking about is mandatory education. And is that something that's just has to be done when someone is first employed, or what's that process with mandatory education?
Well, Lisa, that's a really good question because education is not a one and done approach. We absolutely need to make sure we're educating staff upon hire and with orientation. And that includes if we're using any type of contract or agency staff. But then we need to also provide annual refresher training and education when there are, and also when there are changes in regulations or best practice approach. So it's a really good idea that we need to identify if there's any needs of our staff based on survey or when we're doing our walking rounds, that if we see that staff are not following our procedures, then we want to complete that just-in-time or on-the-spot training as well. So there are many different opportunities, Lisa, when it comes to looking at when we have to educate staff.
You know, and you're right. I mean, there's so many different avenues of education, so many reasons and rationale that you have to do education, you know, and we look at all that, and it's not just for the nursing staff, it's for all staff as well. And with education now, and as we're dealing with higher acuity in all of our settings that we're working, whether it's senior living, you know, other post-acute care settings, long-term care settings, you know, we have got to make sure that our staff have the skills and those knowledge and as well as the abilities to perform the tasks that are expected. And that comes into what's called, and we all know, is competency and verifying competency. So, Sue, I know that competency verification is important. So how can an organization verify that the staff has the specific competencies or their needs based upon their roles and priorities of the organization?
You know, Lisa, you bring up a really good point because we're challenged today to make sure that our learning opportunities and education really do transcribe into properly providing quality of care, therefore the need for verification in competencies. And we can do that a variety of ways. We can do it in return demonstrations. Some things will only need a post-test. Some we will be required to do a skills checklist, simulation exercise, even following up with ongoing observations. And those are just a few ways that we can verify competence.
Thank you, Sue. I know. So we have education, we have mandatory education on that list that you gave us, Sue. And I know that wasn't all encompassing. And then talking about how then once we do the education, we have to verify that the person has the knowledge and the abilities and the skills to perform what we've educated them on, specific to their roles and responsibilities or their job roles in the organization. And Chris, I know with your background as an educator, I know you've been watching education trends and looking at different, you know, education platforms that are available to provide that required education. And we also know, and you've talked with me about how providing education varies for adult learners and adult education. It has some different expectations and challenges compared to education that when we were younger. So can you talk with us or walk through a little bit about what are the different ways or methods that education can be delivered and how they align with really adult education principles?
Of course, adults have more challenges, mostly with schedule. When you're younger, you have dedicated time where you know you're going to be learning. You know you're going to be in class. Whereas adults, especially in our industry, you never are really sure when you're going to be free. So whatever education choices you make or have to be made available to you need to be flexible. They need to be available when you're available, even if it's on short notice. The ways they can be delivered, there's a lot of different ways. There are four main ones. Manuals. Manuals are always good because you can read through them a little bit at a time, put it down, pick it back up. But what the downside of a manual always is that's one-sided. You're just reading and you're learning on your own. Webinars where somebody's explaining something to you is always good, but you have to have that set time available. Same with in-person training, which is always the best, but you've got to get there or they've got to get to you. Lately, the most popular choice has been online learning because it's offers that flexibility with time where you can log in, log off whenever you're available, middle of the night, middle of the day, when you've got a break. And the online training, if it's designed well, is interactive. So you're not just sitting there looking at a screen passively. It's going to challenge you to do a little task or answer questions or try to force you to take in the information that's being given to you and actually try to apply it in your brain instead of just kind of listening and watching and listening and watching.
You know, and those are really good points, Chris. You're talking about that online education and, you know, everything's moved over to online, virtual live, or whatever they call it. But, you know, as a leader, you know, okay, so I say, I'm going to have online education. What do I need to look for with an online provider? How do I make it like impactful? So when I have good educational outcomes, it's streamlined to meet my needs and approaches for the organizational needs, but I know I don't have enough time and resources for the education, but I also want it to meet the regulatory requirements, and I also want it to have practical approaches. So what do I need to look for?
I think the most important part is that it's available 24/7, 365. And then you can access it through various ways. If you're on the road, you may not have your computer with you or a laptop. It needs to be accessible by tablets or maybe even your phone. One of the very important parts, and I kind of mentioned before, is that it needs to be interactive. It needs to be something that keeps the person engaged so that they don't lose interest, don't fade away. The other part that I think is essential, and Sue will probably talk about this again, is that it needs to be written by experts. It needs to be education that's written for our industry, written for your needs, not something that's generic, that's just being applied to long-term care, something written by long-term care experts for long-term care life and work.
You know, and you're bringing up a really good point. And Sue and Chris, I know when talking with you guys about education and designing education, really, you have that architecture of education. Very good point is having it something that's designed specifically by individuals who understand and know what it's like. You know, and that's a lot that I see. And I've gone through, you know, the online modules and stuff like that. And when I have a presentation that is not, you know, it doesn't really give me those practical approaches, or it doesn't really fit and align with what I see and I know every day when I'm in facilities, it will turn me off as an adult learner. And I start reading emails and other things like that. And that we can't have happen, right, guys?
Absolutely. We need to be realistic to the approaches of today's world in the industry. And I think, you know, how things were happening a while ago, or someone who really doesn't understand the complexities of the day-to-day, you know, specific going ons of the facilities, it really doesn't make sense. And therefore, people won't be engaged because it's something that isn't realistic and won't make sense. So the programs need to really be written by someone who understands not just the best practices and the regulations, but also the everyday activities that are realistic in facilities and organizations today.
Chris, do you have any thoughts on that as well?
I do. I think that it's more important to learn how to apply the information that you're taking in. It's really, you've got to understand everything that's being given to you, where they describe the rules or the regulations. But the next step is being able to build it into your daily workflow, being able to apply the information you have. And I think that's probably the most important part to take away from any education, is being able to transfer that into doing instead of just learning, doing what you just learned.
I really, really appreciate both of you being here with me today, because you gave us a great insight into, you know, not only mandatory education, but also really as adult learners and expectations and our needs out there, knowing that it can't be a two-hour course, that we have to have something that's interactive. You know, the different types of platforms that we can use or modalities, as well as looking at how we verify our learners' knowledge through competencies. And we only scratched the surface. I know we could go on and on about this together, and we've had some great conversations. And I look forward to further looking at some of the specific areas that we touched upon today. Lots of information for leaders to consider and implement in their organizations. So, Sue, do you have any suggestions on national or industry-related resources that can really help leaders access that information to help them with this topic that we talked about today?
Absolutely. There are many resources out there today that will assist facilities and organizations to develop or even enhance your education and the protocols. So using things such as CMS, State Operations Manual for definitions and explanation, because when you explain to individuals why it has to be where it has to be, it's not just saying, here's the rule, you got to follow it. There's also other requirements. There's the OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and other industry expectation types of guidance out there. There's also resources from CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. There are AMDA, American Medical Directors Association. There's provider associations, but don't forget the State Department of Health and other clinical associations, trade associations, because they will also be able to put you in the right direction of, you know, current, up-to-date, evidence-based information for those resources.
That's great. And I can't thank, you know, Sue, you and Chris enough for your insight on all this. And I know both of you are very involved from your different perspectives of designing education, looking at, education, the land step, and architectural design, as well as looking at multitudes of platforms to provide that education. So both of you, I know Pathway has a lot of resources and education available in the different platforms. Are there ones that each of you might recommend?
There are a lot that I'm proud of. I think that we have a wide range of choices available. And one other thing I just want to throw in real quick is we customize our education for your needs at any time. So if there's something that we don't have, we'll make it for you. I think the things that I'm most proud of that I think are really useful, one is the GeriRes program. It's a nurse residency program that we have right now that is designed to train nurses to be experts in our industry, to start them in the process so that to teach them how to be a nurse, but how to be a successful nurse in long-term care.
So Pathway also has resources that includes manuals, toolkits, quick paths that are filled with education, PowerPoints, policies, procedures, competency checklists, post-tests and answer keys, system implementation information, audits, and so much more. And we also have additional education that's available for leaders and for specific types of employees, such as the infection preventionist. And then we also have mandatory education I'll let Chris talk about.
Mandatory education, which we talked about a little bit earlier, are the courses that Sue described at the beginning, the ones that are mandatory at all facilities throughout the United States. And we've created an online program that you can access 24/7, 365 that has all those core competencies that are needed for long-term care.
That's fantastic. So, you know, Sue and Chris, again, thank you for joining me today. And I know leaders will have additional questions and might want to reach out to you for further information or how they can learn more about some of those different resources that you talked about here today. So Sue, can you tell them how they can reach you?
Absolutely. You can reach me at susan.lagrange, LAGRANGE, at pathwayhealth.com.
And Chris?
Chris.fangboner, FANGBONER, at pathwayhealth.com.
Well, thank you, Sue and Chris, for joining us on today's Path Talks episode on mandatory education and adult education. So for all of our listeners out there, visit pathwayhealth.com to access valuable resources, educational opportunities, consulting services, leadership resources, and more. Until next time, this is Lisa Thompson. Keep on your path to success.